listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
In addition to the weekly question and answer sessions on our radio broadcasts and the Sunday morning meetings, which have been featured here before on Grace Ambassadors Radio, there is another weekly opportunity offered by Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship for folks to meet together and study the Bible rightly divided. Every Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the evening, Pastor Justin Johnson teaches an in-depth study lesson from the Bible in a verse-by-verse format. Currently, our verse-by-verse study is taking place in the book of 1 Timothy, in which we find Paul instructing Timothy concerning how to operate a church in the dispensation of grace. Let's listen in as Pastor Justin Johnson teaches this verse-by-verse lesson from 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy 1, verse 3. We finished the first two verses last week describing who Timothy was and describing him, as Paul says, as his son in the faith. And we saw why that's important language and how Timothy is talked about more than any other of Paul's compadres in his ministry, and for a good reason. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says there's no man like-minded that would naturally care for the Philippian state than Timothy that he can think of. So he was a dependable, a reliable, a faithful minister for Paul to send out and do work in his stead. And so these epistles, we need to remember in the outset, are written to a faithful worker, written to a leader, an elder. Even though he's a young man, he's been given responsibility to do this work, and he's willingly doing it, taking it on. So he's not writing here, say, to babies or carnal Christians like in the Corinthian epistles, or to those in the Galatian epistles who totally missed right doctrine. This is a guy that has been ministering with Paul and thinks like Paul, knows Paul's life, knows his ministry, knows the doctrine of Christ gave to him, and Paul's encouraging him how to operate this church assembly in Ephesus that he's trying to establish. Now, Ephesus, of course, there were already synagogues there before Timothy and Paul got there. And that may help you if you've ever read Revelation, the first few chapters, and thought, well, there's a church in Ephesus there filled with Jews. And that's true. There was a Jewish synagogue in Ephesus before Paul ever got there. But like in the book of Acts, you learn that when Paul went to synagogues, he would often go in and his message would be rejected by the Jews in the synagogue, and then he'd have to go out and he'd preach to the Gentiles. And so when Paul went to Ephesus, he established his own church outside that synagogue. So it's very different than the Jewish synagogue that was there. And he eventually left Timothy there to deal with some of the problems and to organize and set in order this church, this assembly, this local body of Christ, so that they would operate according to how God would want them to operate. And so after his short introduction in verses 1 and 2, he goes right into the material and what he wants Timothy to do with this charge. And he says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And that's going to be the theme of tonight's lesson, dealing into this idea of teaching no other doctrine. And we've talked about this before, but this is a verse worthy of your memorization and understanding, because this is why we do what we do here. As we read 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, we read Paul's admonition as from the Lord Jesus Christ and say, doctrine matters. And it matters what you teach and what you believe and what foundation the church is built upon. And when you look around, you say, no other church is doing that. Well, someone's got to do it. And so you lay a foundation and you start your own church on the foundation Paul lays, which is Jesus Christ, according to Revelation of the Mystery. So the first thing we learn here from Paul's statement is that he is charging Timothy. This is a charge. And you say, well, yeah, so what? Well, this means he's imposing on him. And so he's not writing here to a new Christian. You can't impose things on new believers who are saved by God's grace. They know they can't do anything. They hopefully, if they've heard the gospel, they know they're sinners. They're not able to do anything. They're not yet equipped. And so you try to impose something on a new believer, they're going to fail. They're going to quit. They're going to leave. But Timothy's not that. And so this is why Paul charges him. He imposes on him, saying, Timothy, you got to do this. You need to do this. He's not asking Timothy for a favor. He's not beseeching Timothy, which Paul does often in his epistles. He'll beseech people. I beseech you, please this and please do that. He's not beseeching Timothy. He's charging him. Like a father to a son, like an apostle passing the baton, he's saying, this is now your responsibility, and you're going to be held accountable for it. This is your charge. This is your commission. And so this is a charge, not a plead, request, or anything like that. We read about that charge throughout the epistle. In chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, this charge I commend to thee, son Timothy. So the charge is the charge we're talking about in verse 3 here. In chapter 6, in verse 13, Paul says at the end of the book, I give thee charge in the sight of God. And so this charge is not just a Pauline charge. It's a charge in God's sight from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is why, as we'll study later, there are prophecies involved with Timothy. God wanted Timothy to do this. You see, and so Paul charges him in the sight of God, the God that quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, and who he is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all that. So we'll deal with those verses as we get there, but I'm trying to draw attention to the importance of this charge. Okay, and so Paul, the first thing he says here is this is an important mission that you need to lay for the church in Ephesus. And as we're trying to lay a foundation of a Pauline church, we need to take that charge seriously as well. Okay. And the first thing Paul says here to Timothy is not, Timothy, as you're working in your church, you need to work on your speaking style. You know, you talk too quiet, or you talk too loud, or too fast, or too slow, or you need more illustrations. It's nothing with that. Paul doesn't talk to Timothy about the way he talks, the way he preaches, the way he teaches. He doesn't tell him about evangelism. People have this idea. Well, we need to be an outreach church. And this last summer, there were churches in Kokomo that gathered together around this idea of we need to reach out to the community, so they skip church on Sunday. Everybody skipped church on Sunday so they could go out to the community and help people wash their clothes and mow the lawns. And so their idea was the church needs to be a help in the community. We need to evangelize. That's not what Paul says. So for Timothy, who he left at a church and said, you need to set this thing in order, the first thing he says is not evangelize, Timothy. Make sure everybody there knows how to evangelize. Make sure you preach the gospel. In fact, the gospel isn't found until 1 Timothy chapter 2. The first thing he says is not, show them love, Timothy. Above all things, remember, you're the church, you're the pastor, show them love. Again, this is a cry that church growth ministries will teach you. You know, how do I grow my church? Evangelize, show them love, be in the community, right? Make sure you have dynamic, charismatic speakers, you know, this sort of thing. These things do attract people, but this is not what Paul says. Okay, this is not what Paul says to Timothy. He doesn't say make it more fun, entertaining, make it culturally relevant. Do a survey among the culture in your community to see what their needs are, and then make your assembly appropriate to that. These are all things written in church growth books that some I have on my shelf as reference, and they work to get people. But apparently, Paul's first charge, his preeminent statement, is doctrinal. Because above all things, Timothy, I charge you, you might charge others, that they teach no other doctrine. Doctrine is the issue that Paul says you need to start with. Start with and end with is doctrine. You got the doctrine wrong, there's no point in doing church. And wow, is that something the church at large has lost focus on, I think. Okay, the first thing he says is doctrine. Doctrine is the first thing in the Bible, in 2 Timothy 3:16, that Paul says the Bible's good for. We studied this on Sunday. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Doctrine's first on the list. Understanding God, His will, what He's doing, how to grow, what the church is like, you know, why are we here, what's the purpose? These are all doctrinal teaching statements. And these are required. These are the first things. As a new Christian, when you hear the doctrine of the gospel that saves you, the doctrine that you're a sinner and can't save yourselves, and you believe the doctrine, the teaching that Christ died for your sins, the second thing you ought to do as a new Christian is learn more doctrine. Because you're of no use until you learn the material, you see. Now, that's not to say that new Christians can't do anything. They know the gospel. So you know the gospel, you can share the gospel, right? You can share what you know. But you need to be equipped. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. And so doctrine is significant. And when you have doctrine in you and it grows you and it strengthens you, this is when you start to operate through that doctrine to do ministry work in yourself and your family and in the church and other places. Okay? Without doctrine, you can't reprove. Without doctrine, you can't correct. Without doctrine, you can't instruct anybody in righteousness. That's how important doctrine is. It is the foundation. It is what makes the church the pillar on the ground of the truth. Now, this is for the church, of course. That doctrine, of course, being the doctrine of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, right? And so, Paul gives preeminent place in the Bible, in the church, rather, that he writes Timothy about, to true and right doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:15, of course, says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what Paul is dealing with in that verse, which we quote as a slogan so often, is with doctrine. Because in the next verse, in 2 Timothy, he says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. The doctrine, the teaching, if it's wrong, will corrupt your church. It'll tear down the people in your church. It'll inhibit their growth. So this is what he sees in Ephesus. He sees that there's a doctrinal issue, and Timothy is left there to fix it, okay, to establish on right doctrine. Titus 1, verse 9, he tells Titus the same thing when he says to Titus, hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. That is a qualification for a bishop, for the elder in the church in Crete that Titus was to establish. He says, make sure these people that you ordain can hold fast the faithful word. Okay, if they're flimsy, they're not yet grounded, they're not anchored, they can still go to church, they can still be part of the assembly, they're still part of the body of Christ, but you should not call them an elder. You should not say, we need you to help lead, because they're not established, they're not faithful, they can't hold fast, you see. So we'll see this theme come up repeatedly in 1 Timothy, as well as in 2 Timothy and Titus, because we're talking here the difference between a new Christian, a baby believer, or even one that knows the doctrine, and an elder, a leader, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's a difference. Okay? When it comes to the doctrine of grace, grace is easy to get you saved. You don't do anything. In fact, that is the gospel. You can't do anything, and it's because you're a sinner. But you've been saved to do good works, Ephesians 2, verse 10. You've been saved for a purpose, to grow up into Jesus Christ, and you're here as an ambassador to serve and represent and minister for Him. And that requires your growth in doctrine. And eventually, your growth in doctrine should bring you to a point where you're faithful now. You're faithful to the Word. You're faithful to God. You're faithful to do what the responsibility He's placed upon you. You see? And so faithfulness is what makes the difference between an elder and a leader and someone who's not. Okay? We'll cover more about this as we get to those offices in 1 Timothy. But this is what he says at the beginning. This is why he says, teach no other doctrine. In Titus 1, verse 9, then, the bishop here needs to be able to know sound doctrine so that, what? He can exhort and convince the gainsayers. Paul anticipates there are going to be different beliefs, different teachers, gainsayers, and a proper minister, a proper elder, Timothy, Titus, need to be able to exhort and convince gainsayers. Right? And so, whether that's you, and you take the position of an elder, and you take the position of learning that doctrine and is taking that stand, or whether it's you being convinced about it, where you support and you cast your vote for and you demand that doctrine be taught, both of you have a position in the church. Okay, churches start by a leader, and they grow by building blocks that are solid, persuaded, convicted, faithful to stay in their place, right, in the church, so that other people can build upon them. That's what we need. And that's what Paul's exhorting Timothy to do.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have the continuation of this verse-by-verse lesson from 1 Timothy.
Here's what people are saying about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship.
Grace Ambassadors is a Bible fellowship, and our main focus is studying the Bible.
The pure gospel of grace is taught and never mixed with law or a law-based system.
A group of people here earnestly seeking the truth from God's Word come together in unity of faith and sound doctrine.
It's about growing people in God's Word.
Being able to sit with my children or wife and have a basic understanding of the Bible helps in so many areas of life.
No lies, no tithing, just truth. Now that I've found Grace Ambassadors, I'll never go anywhere else.
Learn more about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at graceambassadorsradio.com.
Paul charges Timothy. It's so important that he fulfill this charge. And the charge, of course, concerns doctrine, which we've already covered. And it's interesting to note about the charge of doctrine that it's to teach no other doctrine. It's not, Timothy, make sure you teach doctrine, which in the modern Christian world would be enough, I would think. I mean, with so many churches not teaching doctrine at all, just saying, hey, teach doctrine. This would be a good improvement, wouldn't it? I mean, instead of the entertainment-driven, the pleasure-seeking type of atmosphere in a lot of churches, the experience-driven and the feeling, emotions that so much overwhelm church services, if they would just communicate doctrine, this would be a good step in the right direction. And if we go another step and say, well, if they taught right doctrine, that, of course, would be a given, and that'd be great. If churches would teach right doctrine, if we had more churches teaching right things, this would be a wonderful thing. But that is not what Paul says. Notice he doesn't say, Timothy, make sure you charge people to teach right doctrine. He says, make sure you charge some they teach no other doctrine. There's a difference there, you know. Saying teach right doctrine, that should be a given. I mean, Timothy should know that. We need to teach what's right, not what's wrong. But he says, Timothy, what you need to do is make sure they don't teach any other doctrine. Because it's very possible to teach what's right and the next Sunday teach what's wrong. And that's wrong. That ministry is wrong to do that, you see. We said they taught right last Sunday. Well, this Sunday, it's wrong. And Paul's first charge in the church is make sure they teach no other doctrine. Because he knows how easy it is to have a church, have a ministry, have an assembly where you just accept everything. Right? Remember in Acts 17 where Paul went to Mars Hill, the Greek stadium there where, you know, people would stand up, and that's where the Greeks came to learn and to hear any new thing, right? So they let anybody talk, so they let Paul talk, and Paul talked about Christ and resurrection in Areopagus, right? And if that happened today, no doubt the evangelicals would say, great, you know, Paul has an opportunity to preach the gospel, and we're accepted among the Greeks, and it's great. But that's not church, folks. That's not church. Some even believed. Great, Paul was evangelizing, but that's not church. You don't let anyone and everyone come into your church and start teaching any old thing, because that's not the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, that can be evangelism. You go out in the world and you teach one thing, and here comes the Hindu and he teaches something else, but don't call that church. You see, so Paul is writing to Timothy of how to establish a church ministry. What do you do when the church comes together? How ought you behave in the church, 1 Timothy 3:15 says. There is such a teaching in the Bible. Having a church is important. Okay, it's not enough for you to be alone as a Christian and say, I know the doctrine. There is a function and a purpose for us meeting together, for us ministering together. And this is what 1 Timothy is laying out. Okay? So Paul gives the very negative statement. The first statement he gives is not only doctrinal, but it's a negative statement. It's no other doctrine. You know, make sure you prohibit that. Make sure you tell them to be quiet when they do. You know, make sure you correct that. When someone's wrong, what he tells Timothy to do here is to charge them not to be wrong anymore. So when you see someone teaching a wrong thing, believing a wrong thing, acting a wrong thing, the proper response is for you to charge them. That's what he told Timothy to do. Remember, it wasn't, even though we'll cover his charge to Timothy, but what was his charge to Timothy? His charge to Timothy was to charge others, you see. So it wasn't just, Timothy, here's your charge. Don't teach any other doctrine. No, it was, Timothy, here's your charge. Charge others to teach no other doctrine. Wow, that's a little harder. Because, I mean, if you're just telling me to teach no other doctrine, I'm with you, Paul. I'm not going to teach anything wrong. But if you're telling me, Justin, tell those other guys not to teach anything wrong. Do I have to? I mean, they won't like me if I say that. You know, it's kind of offensive to say things like this. I don't want to do that. But that's the hard work. That's the necessary work that it takes. That's the pure work that's required to keep a church as a pillar on the ground of the truth. Okay? And so, of course, our judgment of what is right and wrong is the Bible rightly divided. It's not because you don't like the way they spoke. It's not that you don't like the person. Your evaluation of whether or not it's right or wrong doctrine or another doctrine or not is the Bible rightly divided. Right? Is the doctrine that Timothy already knew, that Paul taught him. That's the evaluation of the judgment. So you see already implicit in the first few verses of Timothy, Paul assumes Timothy knows Paul's doctrine. Right? We're not teaching the mystery here. We're not saying, Timothy, this is what I've been given to teach. Paul already knows Timothy knows that stuff. He's saying, Timothy, now that you're going to help that church over there grow, make sure you tell them to teach no other doctrine. Right? Make sure you charge him to do that. Because he knows he's going to judge based on his doctrine. Now, the idea that in churches, and of course people outside of Christianity know Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, right? Don't judge. And the fact that Christians have assumed this on themselves, that we shouldn't judge people. It's just so wrong. It's a terrible lie. The first charge that Paul gives Timothy requires Timothy to judge people. Isn't that what he's saying? Make sure you charge people to teach another doctrine. What's that require of Timothy? That he evaluate what they said, whether it be right or wrong, and if it's wrong, then he charge them, right? Wouldn't Christians call that judging people today? Well, I don't believe in judging people. I don't believe in naming names or anything like this. Let them do what they do, and we'll do what we do. And Paul says charge them, they teach another doctrine. That's a responsibility that few take, but we need to take more of it. You know, we need to pray, as Paul does, that there be more judgment. In Philippians 1, verse 9, Paul says to the Philippians, I pray that you increase and abound in love and in judgment. Paul says, I pray that you would judge more. Because when you lack spiritual judgment, when you can't judge right and wrong doctrine, you can't judge the circumstance, you can't judge those things, that means you're not maturing in doctrine. You're not growing in it. Right? Or you're being confused by things, which is why he tells Timothy, make sure they teach no other doctrine. To avoid confusion, right? And so 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, he that is spiritual judges all things. Anybody want to be spiritual? Is Timothy supposed to take the place of the spiritual man? Yes, he's the elder. He's the leader. And 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, he that is spiritual judges all things. The idea there, the reason why you can judge all things as a spiritual person, not a carnal person, it's not you and your flesh, because I'm a Christian, I can judge you. That's not it at all. You that are spiritual, operating with the knowledge of what the Holy Spirit has given us to understand what God is doing, we walking in the Spirit, growing in the Spirit, we have the spiritual eyes then to discern what people's problems are, how they need help, what's right and wrong, and knowing, of course, that doctrine affects behavior, and we see certain behavior, we can say, well, it's because this doctrine's wrong here, and we can discern that and judge that, and that's how we can help. That's what Paul did in all of his epistles. He judges. In Colossians 2, he says, being absent, I judge. In 1 Corinthians 5, being absent, I judge. Because he knows spiritual truths. Now, when the Corinthians, who are carnal, they turned around and started judging Paul and saying, Paul, who are you to tell us this? You know, Paul says, you can't judge me. You know, I'm not under your judgment. Okay, is what he says in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, only the Lord judges me. And this is your approach as well to yourself. You're not under anyone's dominion except the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But we're told to judge and discern doctrinal truths. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. He that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. You see? So Paul says in chapter 2, you should judge all things if you're spiritual. In chapter 4, he's saying, I'm not under your authority. He says, I'm a steward of the mystery of Christ in verse 1. He's a minister of Christ. So who's his judge? Christ. He's a steward of the mysteries of God. Who's he accountable to? Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the fact that he's accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ that learning and knowing the mysteries of God, he can have spiritual judgment about things. You see, he's not a lord over the Corinthians. He doesn't have dominion over their faith. But you're supposed to be wise to God's will. You're supposed to understand what God's doing. So don't let people tell you you shouldn't judge. These are people that don't know their Bible very well. You need to be spiritual. You need to judge all things. You need to increase in judgment. You need to pray for that. And if you're going to charge people to teach new other doctrine, you're going to have to judge something. And by the way, people judge things all the time. When someone tells you, don't judge me, or thou shalt not judge, what they're typically trying to do is justify their own error or get you to be quiet about it. Right? They just want to hear about their mistakes. They want to get you to stop talking to them. So maybe you give them that favor. But you know, that's not the instruction. Matthew 7:1 is not written to the church, the body of Christ. And by the way, in Matthew 7:1, even if you were to read that passage, you know about the mote in the eye, the beam in the eye, right? It says, why are you talking about the mote in your brother's eye when you have a beam in your own eye? Take the beam out of your own eye first, then you can talk about the mote in brothers. But read the passage. It says in Matthew 7, so that both can be removed. He says, take the beam out of your eye so that you can take the mote out of your brother's. They both need to be removed. So in the end, I mean, was the guy who saw the mote, was he right? The speck, the splinter? Yeah, he was right. Is the guy who saw the beam in that guy's eyes, is he right? Yeah, he's right too. They're both wrong. They both need fixed. And this is the type of spiritual judgment that we need to have about things, realizing that we're sinners. You know, grace teaches us that we're all sinners. We've all got mistakes. We've all got problems. And we know how to fix it. You know, with God's word rightly divided. So we need to take that position.
That's all the time we have this week for our in-depth verse-by-verse look at 1 Timothy. Tune in next week for the continuation of the series.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands at the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's word and actually apply it to current events, and we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com. Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.